In today's gospel, Christ predicts his glorification through his death and resurrection. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some Greeks who had come to worship at Passover at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was in school, I really didn't like poetry very much. I didn't like trying to figure out all the images and the way they put the words together and all that sort of thing. I just didn't appeal to me at the time. But there was one poem I've remembered over the years, it really made an impression on me. It was written by the great British romantic poet Percy Shelley, who lived in the late 1700s and early 1800s. The poem was called Ozymandias. How many of you recognize that poem, Ozymandias? There's a great lack in your education, I can see that. There's a big hole there for most of you. Actually, it's Deacon Doug's favorite poem. Yeah, he loves it. Would you like to give a recitation of it right now? Oh, after Mass, yeah, sure, yeah. But actually, it's a very interesting poem in view of today's gospel. It tells the story of this traveler who comes to this great city ruin, the ruins of this great city out in the desert. And he sees there, lying in the sand, the remains of this great statue. This huge statue had been built to one of the kings. Now it's lying down in the sand. The head is fallen off and half covered with sand. But on the statue, there's an inscription. The inscription reads this: "My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair." My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. But then the poem continues. "Nothing now remains round the decay of that colossal wreck. Boundless and bare, the loose and level sands stretch far away." Nothing now remains round the decay of that colossal wreck, just the sands stretching on and on. Interesting image. I wonder how many Ozymandiases there have been in history. Great kings, powerful rulers, conquests. Where are they now? If they're lucky, they're a footnote in some history book. If they're lucky. And then comes Christ. No armies, no money, no power as the world counts power. And he dies the death of a criminal on a cross. And in spite of that, 2,000 years later, million upon millions upon millions of people cry out, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And they follow him every day. How do we explain that? How do we explain that? You know, St. Paul, in one of his letters, teaches us that for the Jewish people, the cross was a stumbling block. Remember, the Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah. But their picture of the Messiah was in large part formed by the prophecy of the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. In the book of Daniel, Daniel has a vision. He says he sees one like a son of man coming before the throne of God. And that son of man receives all power and majesty, and he's able to establish a great kingdom upon the earth. That's what they were looking for for the Messiah. So when they look at Jesus hanging on the cross, that's a scandal for them. That doesn't make any sense. That can't be the Son of Man. That cannot be the Messiah. But doesn't Jesus say it today in the gospel? When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. When I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. Why is that? Why is it that on the cross itself, Christ accomplishes what no Ozymandias can accomplish? I think it's because on the cross, we see the length to which God will go to save us. On the cross, we see the depths of God's love for us. On the cross, we see ourselves being redeemed. And because we see that on the cross, Christ burns himself into our hearts. Christ burns himself into our hearts, draws all of us to himself in a way no Ozymandias could ever do. Let me give you one example of that. During the height of communism in Europe back in the 1970s, 1980s, one of the most closed societies in the world was the country of Albania. When's the last time you thought about Albania? Most of us probably can't even locate it on a map right away. That was one of the most closed societies in the world. In fact, in the Albanian constitution in those days, religion was declared illegal. Now, most other communist countries in their constitutions proclaimed that they had freedom of religion. Now, of course, it wasn't true, but they at least proclaimed that as what they claimed they stood for. Albania didn't try to cover it up. Religion was illegal. They had a book in Albania in those days of names that you could use to name your child. You had to name your child after one of those names. You could not name your child in Albania after a saint. Couldn't do it. In Albania, they closed more than 2,000 churches, tore them down. There was one instance of a priest who was in prison. A young woman in prison had delivered a baby. The priest secretly baptized the baby. When the authorities found out, they shot him. See, they were trying to totally eradicate religion, wipe it off the face of the Albanian earth, so to speak. Now, by the time the 1990s came around, things had loosened up a little bit. The law was still the law, but some of the authorities kind of looked the other way when people did a little religious things here and there. One day, a priest was asked if he would go to one of the cemeteries and celebrate a mass on All Souls Day. So he prepared and he went to celebrate a mass for a few people on All Souls Day in the cemetery. You know what he found when he got there? 7,000 people. 7,000 people waiting for him there. All by word of mouth. 7,000 people. Most of those people there had been baptized in their homes by their parents. Most of them there had never received First Communion or confirmation. Why were they there? Because in the secret of their homes, they had been taught by their families that God loved them and gave up his son for them. In their homes, Christ on the cross had burned his way into their hearts. And there they were, 7,000 of them, to celebrate Mass. Isn't that why we're here today? Most of us, anyway? Because Christ has burned himself into our hearts. We know what he's done for us, the depth of his love for us. And with all of those countless thousands of people down, through millions of people down through the centuries, we too cry out, Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's burned himself into our hearts. I conclude with another little poem. I don't even know who wrote this, but I think it's fitting. Because, you know, when we look at Christ on the cross, on that day when he was on the cross, he lifted us up to the Father, each one of us. He took each one of us into his arms and lifted us up to the Father. And he promises that on the day of our death, he will lift us up again. We'll all be lifted up, each of us, to the Father. That's how he burns himself into our hearts. So this little poem goes like this. Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar, Napoleon, all they perished from the earth as fleeting shadows from a glass. And conquering down the centuries came Christ the swordless on an ass. All they perished from the earth as fleeting shadows from a glass. And conquering down the ages, the centuries, came Christ the swordless on an ass. May God bless you.